Apono ana I na ohana no ke iala. Please allow this reading to serve as the official reading for the following recognition today. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-25D. The council may close a meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed, and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. So at any time today, if you wish to have us move into executive session, please let us know.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Okay, 1 second. Okay. The first one, for Carolyn Donna Ke'alonapua Norman and Ohana. Descendancy recognition application to skeletal remains located at the Kahaku Project, formerly King's Village. Ahopua'a Waikiki Mokokona Aino Oahunei. TMK. Kahi Luaono Ole Luakolu Ole Luaiva. And J again, this is item J. No, but there should be one. Hold on. Regina, you did mention that our recommendation for
culture of descendants.
Okay. So for items J, K, L, M, N. I shall read the following names. Following names are known to be Carolyn Donna ke Aloanapua Norman Ohana. Eileen ke Kahili Okomoku Kauai Nui Norman. Debbie Paulette ke Kahili Okomoku Norman Kini. And from Debbie is Puahone Kauai Neu'i Okeanue Nui Kini Lopes. From whom is Kamaha'o Samuel Lealoha Kini Lopes. And there is also Nalani Kekahili Okomoku Kini Gasper. Carolyn Donna Ke'alo'onapua Norman. Justin Kepo'ohu Naikeauli Kili'ipa'akaua. Chase Kayolohia Yalua Kili'ipa'akaua. From whom is Joey Melehiwehiwa Chiemi Kili'ipa'akaua. And Brooke Holopono Koji Kili'ipa'akaua. Theodore Robert Kekua Iliahi Norman. Kaleo Kekua Iliahi Norman. Kili Inui Keaveamahi Norman. Kimberly Kanani Onapua Norman Suzuki. Nicole Kawaileleo Nu'uanu Suzuki Hayton. Ashley Wahine Irikea Suzuki Silva. Kara Kamakanika Ilialoha Akales. The SHPD has recommended that this ohana be recognized as cultural descendants to the Kahaku Project, as noted in item J. At this time, please, if you care to share any thought, hold on. let me preface what I'm going to say by saying that the council does its best currently to offer opportunity for descendants coming forward to articulate why they would like to Malama Ivi Kupuna. You are not new to Malama Ivi Kupuna, and everyone is quite familiar with you on this council. Is there anything additional that you would like to say to this council?
Not really, just that, you know, we explained last night in our meeting, is that we stepped away for to Malama our living for, you know, a little while, and have this calling back into Malama na Kupuna. So we would appreciate if the council would recommend cultural recognition for our ohana.
Mahalo.
Yeah. I'll just add that in the same way that we have done before when we were very active in this Kuleana Malama na Ivi Kupuna, and as we have articulated in meetings before for other projects too, our i'ini here is the same, is to Malama the Kupuna from Aina, where our ohana is from. Therefore, our reasons for seeking recognition for agenda items J, K, L, M, and N.
Maikai. Mahalo. He mau me kuka kuka ponoai in lala o ke ahane. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that the Oahu Island Borough Council recognize cultural descendancy to this family of Carol and Donna Kiala Unapuna Norman and Ohana and her son Kipo, who is present, for cultural descendancy to this project.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. Mahalo. Hola mua. Item K.
We gotta do it for all one time.
If you choose, and if you, normally I just read through the names and then go down. Would you?
You can to expedite things.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been
we
a
have a reason not to.
For you to.
Do we have any room? It's almost like any one of them have a check, but do we have any reason to not go along with the recommendation by Shifty's recommendation? I mean, just out of expedience. I still got the 3 o'clock.
Okay, we can do it that way.
No, I mean, is that possible? I don't.
Yes, I know how to do that. Anyone in the room that will potentially stand in opposition to this family for the remaining agenda items on the agenda today? Ole seeing is none. All right, for item K. Carolyn, Donna, Ke'alo, Napua, Norman, and Ohana names as read have been recommended to this council for cultural recognition to the Ivi Kupuna at 343 Saratoga Road at the Hiko Right of Way, Ahupa Awaikiki, Mokokona, Aino Ahunei, TMK, Kahi Lua Ono, Ole Ole Kolu, Ole Lima Ole. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that OIBC recognized cultural descendancy to the family of Carolyn Donna Kela'unapuna Norman and Ohana, and it's a Kipo'o who stays here, for the skeletal remains located near 343 Saratoga Road at the Hiko Right of Way, Waikiki Ahupua'akuna District, Oahu, TMK 126003050, and items I, M, and N. There cannot?
Just one.
Okay, you don't. So we're not going to expedite it that way. Okay,
that
just
way.
The one.
Not that
okay.
way.
Okay.
Second. Yeah.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Item L. Carolyn, Donna, Ke'ala, Napua, Norman, and Ohana. Names as read just a few moments ago. It has been recommended to this council that we offer cultural recognition to the Ohana for the skeletal remains located at the Lilia, formerly known as the Kuhio Collection, Waikiki Ahupua'a Mokokona Aino O'o Ahunei, TMK, Kahi Lua ono ole lua kahi, kahi ole ole. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that YBC recognize cultural dissonancy to Carolyn Donna Kiala Onapua, Norman and Ohana. Names attached, descendancy recognition application to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at the Lilia, formerly the Kuhio Collection, Waikiki, Amapua, Kona District, Oahuni, TMK 12602100.
Second.
It's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried.
Real quick, Regina, just please vote that I'm back on the quorum. Okay.
Mahalo. Item M. The Shifty has recommended to this council that Carolyn Donna, Ke'alo Napua Norman, and Ohana names as attached be recognized as cultural descendants to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at the Outrigger Reef, Waikiki, Ahupa'au Waikiki, Mokuokona, Aina o Ahunei, TMK, Kahi Luaono Ole Ole Ha Ole Kahi Ole. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that the OIBC recognize cultural descendancy to Carolyn Donna Keala Onapua Norman and Ohana. Descendancy recognition application to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains located at the Outrigger Reef, Waikiki, Waikiki Ahupua Kona District, Oahu, TMK Kahilua Ono Ole Ole Ha Ole Kahi Ole.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. And the final recognition for the day. The Shifty has recommended to this council that Carolyn Donna, Ke'alo Napua Norman, and Ohana, names attached, that we afford cultural recognition, cultural descendancy recognition to their Ohana for skeletal remains located at the Wolfat Building Renovation Project.
The Wolfat is a It's a Hawaii 50 question.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, I'm Chinese. So
that's what I thought, yeah.
All fine. Building renovation project, Ahupa'au Honolulu, Mokokona, Aino Ahunei, TMK. Kahi, kahi hiku ole ole kolu ole luaono. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we afford cultural recognition to the family of Carolyn Donna, Keala Unapua Norman, and Ohana. Descendancy recognition application to skeletal remains located at the Moro Fat Building Renovation Project, Honolulu, Apua, Kona District, Oahuni, TMK, Kahi Kahi, Hiku Ole Ole Kolu Ole Lua Ona.
Your motion recommends it for cultural descendancy.
Thank you. Yeah.
Second.
It is moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried.
No. It's the last one, right? Last one.
You can put a hole in his canoe outside. It's located right around the back.
Mahalo for being here.
I
can
practice kapu aloha.
Oh, I invoke other kapu.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Well.
Hey, those were the items that were there for a while.
Yes.
That we finally got to. So I meant to say mahalo for your patience.
Yeah, mahalo. Yes,
mahalo. Mahalo. Mahalo nui. That
was the first time we had quorum and we reached the inadvertent communication section of the...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We can, but we have a
right.
Legacy here.
Right. So oh, yeah. Right.
True.
To speak on the items... Oh, the non-business. Welcome. Thank you for joining us again.
Mm-hmm. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
My name is Mara Mulrooney, archaeologist with Pacific Legacy.
Aloha kako. I'm Paul Clayhorn, Pacific Legacy.
Aloha.
And we've just prepared a brief project overview for a project with which you are all familiar, I'm sure. The Wananala Bay Beach Park Multi-Purpose Field project. This is part of the Wananala Bay Beach Park Master Plan, the EA, for which was accepted in 2012. So it's been a long-standing plan. Objectives, pretty basic, improve the park, improve the services, include, add some services, minimize costs, and maintain security and the rural character of the park. Now, this was the initial master plan schematic. You'll notice a baseball field there, sort of center bottom. And following an extensive consultation process, which included many meetings with a community advisory group, as well as additional meetings and requests, attendance at neighborhood board meetings, letters mailed to various community organizations, and various communications via email with individuals from the community. They shifted that plan and portions of it, especially converting that baseball field to a multi-purpose field, which is phase one of this project, and also maintaining the rural character, right? There was an emphasis on a lack of development and making sure that those campsites have a rural character, especially in the more sensitive Makai regions of the park, which we get to. So a lot of conversations have taken place since that EA was accepted, now 8 years ago. And one of those centers on the National Historic Places Register. And so this is a map that shows the Bellows Dune site. And so when this site was placed on the National Register in 1973, the polygon was drawn wide, and it does include the entire beach park. That boundary has not changed. And that boundary was drawn so widely because it encompasses an area of Jocus sand. Sand, of course, being the substrate on which numerous Ibi Kupuna were uncovered at the Bellows Dune site, which is about a mile and a half north of the park boundary. Other contributing factors to placing this district on the National Register were Site 50, 80, 14, 513, and Site 512. So you'll see at Site 512, there's a cultural deposit identified by Dick Pearson in 71. It was later tested by Davis, who recommended further work there. And then at 513, two burials were identified. One was consisted of a disarticulated mandible, and another was a full in situ burial. They were not mapped, they were left in place. Additional testing was done at the site a few years later by Davis, and he was unable to relocate those burials. So that's the sort of overview pertaining to the NHRP. So if we just focus in on the previous archaeology within the Waimanalo Bay Beach Park, 17 projects have been done in total to date, starting with the identification of those two sites, 513 and 512, by Pearson. A few years later, Davis did extensive testing, lots of coring across the park, also some trenches, which you see in orange there, in a large area. And that was because they were building out infrastructures for the park. Cox in 1978 identified two locations with Ibi Kupuna. These are their approximate locations. I think it's important to emphasize that those are approximate. The one on, actually we'll talk about those in a few minutes. State Parks did a series of cores in the Malka section of the park in 1979. This was following unauthorized bulldozing in the area. So they went through, did extensive testing, and they identified two pit features for which they did not assign state site numbers as part of that work. Lovelace and Ota came along for the new parking lot in 1980. Again, did a number of coring, pouring testing strategy in that area, and there were no findings there. The reinterment site was established at the southern end of the park in 1991, and this is where the Ibi Kupuna from the Bellows site are reinterred. Ogundega did extensive testing and archaeological monitoring of the removal of two underground storage tanks. They did, I think, 13 trenches, and there were no findings there.
Sorry, quick question. Yep. Why were they reinterred there? Because the Bellows site is
why
on
were
the base?
They, yeah, so that there's access for cultural descendants.
And there's an agreement by state parks.
What year was this?
1991.
Yeah, 91.
Oh, okay. Yep. In 2013, Cultural Surveys of Hawaii did an AIS for a new sewer line, which you can see running there in sort of bright blue. They did a series of trenches as well as 100% pedestrian survey of the entire park. So that's the most recent archaeological work that's been done there. So if we, oh, sorry. And so if we zero in just on Ibi Kupuna that have been identified, we had two disarticulated finger bones, which were left in place. They were in imported fill, or a stratum that was identified as imported fill by CSH in 2013, so that's there in blue. We have the two approximate locations from David Cox, 1978, and there's the description from that report of that more Malka location, approximately 150 meters Malka of the assumed location of site 513, which is there in red. A single human burial was located. It was in the east face of the trench for the 2-inch sewer force main serving restroom number one, midway between the existing 6-inch water line and the point of turn in line at 150 meters south of restroom one along the sewer line. The Ibi Kupuna was reburied at the same location. So, again, preserved in place, and a mandible was located in a factor pile along the beachfront, which is the Makai yellow circle there. It was also reinterred at the approximate location of the find at a depth of 1.3 meters, or 137 meters. So this is the known distribution of the Kupuna within the Waimanalo Bay Beach Park at this time. On that basis, SHPD recommended archaeological monitoring for the current project, which is outlined there in blue, for the construction of the multipurpose field. We have been working in this area, actively monitoring, beginning in April of 2019, and the project, of course, is currently on hold, but when we zero in and look at the previous archaeology within and near the current phase one project area, what we can see is that the entire area has been covered by survey, by CSH, of course, most recently, but also by State Parks in 1979, and then the work by Ogundega took place right there as well in the past. So that gives you a sense of what we knew prior to initiating monitoring in this area. What we've done is actually superimposed the findings to date on top of a 1949 aerial photograph. Now, the entire park was part of the Bellows Airfield prior to being converted to a park. And so what we can see is a number of different developments, and in that aerial photograph you can see some roads for which we did identify some of the asphalt there in the southern corner. We've also had a few isolated things that have come up, an isolated bird bone, some glass bottle fragments, a pig bone, and the basalt dike stone that Pat Kirch identified in one of the fish piles. And what you see there is that all of those finds, all of those isolated artifacts are somewhat near a structure that was standing there in the 1940s. So sort of interesting to look at it from a historical standpoint there. Now, last year, We undertook additional consultation and had many conversations. There's a key stakeholder meeting that was held in Wyman Hollow in September. Paul, Pat Kirch, and I went out to talk story with the Save Our Sherwoods group on site in October. And we also met together with the Department of Design and Construction from the City and County and the Office of Hawaiian Affairs in October. Where are we now? The project is currently on hold. We're told that the mayor met with the Save Our Sherwoods group this morning, so we're awaiting word on what resulted from that conversation. The mayor's office has indicated that the project will not continue after phase one, which is the construction of the multipurpose field, and they have made every effort to tap into the existing water line to negate the need to trench in the Makai area, taking into account that that area is the most sensitive area with regards to Ibi Kupuna. Do you have any questions for us?
Yes. Were you able to speak with Le Maile and Kamoa?
I spoke with Kamoa, and he indicated that he doesn't have any specific information beyond the archaeological reports, but he's had many conversations with community members. And so he's going to reach out to them and ask if they would be willing to share their mana'o and their ike regarding Ibi Kupuna in the park area.
He made no sort of reference to anything that was a part of our, well, what I had told you.
So we discussed the placement of the entire area on the National Register, and he expressed concern that the significance of this area has been diminished because of the fact that there has been extensive disturbance, especially through development associated with the military use of the area. And he advocated for a more systematic strategy for testing the area. He does not feel that coring is a sufficient technique.
Well, that was a question of mine. You can jump in here. Why was there so much coring done versus trenching? You feel the first one blooming. And in my experience in the discipline of archaeology, coring has its own purpose, doesn't it? Mm. Versus trenching, you're looking for more core samples of plant life and other things versus, you know, the Ibi Kupuna.
Not necessarily. Coring is often used for recovery of paleontological samples, but back in the 70s, it was a very common testing technique. And that's what we have to look at. We have to look at when it's done. I agree today that would not be appropriate, either trenches or at least hands shoveled trenches or backhoe trenches, something like that, something larger. But, you know, this was mid-1970s.
Then how can we say today there was enough done? What I'm saying.
That's a good question. That's a real good question. And I can't say that one way or that's SHPD's decision. They're the ones who make that judgment call.
I'll put that on the record. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So, no discussion whatsoever on the statements made to me that made this area, the entire area, a burial mound.
So when I spoke with Kamoa, he talked about the entire area being a burial ground because of the presence of sand and because of the presence of sand dunes.
Okay.
He said that he will reach out to community members. I've agreed and offered to send him all of the archaeological background, but he did explicitly say that his own knowledge is based on the archaeological studies that have been done there. But what he's advocating for, and many of the community members are also advocating for, is a more rigorous testing strategy before further work is done.
Okay. Anything else you care to share with us?
I guess I'm just very disappointed that we're at this juncture. I wish there'd been better communication before the project started. I don't think that's the fault of the archaeologists who are involved. I think it's the fault of the city. And the state probably should have taken a more rigorous role in terms of further testing, but again, that's not my kuleana. But I'm just sad that we got to this point where people are so upset, and they're upset with me, and we're trying to provide a service at the best of our abilities.
I believe that in the meeting where the city was last present in this room, I did advocate, and it was echoed by council members, that greater amount of testing was necessary, as well as more acceptable means of testing would be expected for 2020. But with that said, the information you provided now tells us that it's still on hold, and that the mayor is speaking with the folks out from Waimanalo. So, not much any one of us can really do. And council members, I asked for this to be placed originally on the agenda because it was brought to my attention as a community concern, as well as the fact that in the news, my comments were severely truncated. We went through an extremely long day of discussion and articulation about this project, even though it was not on our official radar. And from that, a community leader of Waimanalo chose to personally go after me for a portion of what I said. And so, anyway, that's how we got to this place. But I respect the fact that you've come back and you've shared more of what you can. Not too much different information from what we know. I was hoping that because I was strongly spoken to by the individuals that I named to you, that I would have assumed that they had something different that they were referring to, because they were quite adamant with me. With that said, it's just us now and nobody else, just looking at each other. So I will go back to what was said on that first day. If there is any motion towards further development, we advocate for far more adequate testing to be done and far more adequate consultation to be done. We also recognize that this entire area is sand, so one should expect to find burrows over there. However, given the history of this place, they'll be lucky if there's anything left. And we also know that this is the site of one of the oldest findings in all of our islands.
Yes.
So.
And funny, you know, working in Waimanalo, you're hearing a lot more than what we're hearing here from the local people, from the Kama'aina, the Ku'aina of the place. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff that we're not hearing here. People speaking out, but they're not speaking to you or to this, but they are adamant about the project. It's interesting.
Adamant
against it, and the burials, but.
The whole premise was that we, the council, were weak and we were lax. Mm. I I was the one who had to take the brunt of that, because I said that Ivi Kupuna should not be used as the scapegoat for stopping a project. However, see, but they only caught that much on the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. You weren't here at the time, I think. Ali was the head of the... But I drive by there probably half as many times as you do, Ali, during the week, and I saw this thing going on, and frankly, I think it's an eyesore along the highway there. And they say about talking about the natural... You've torn down that whole jungle screen there, which is really kind of nice. But then I saw them pushing the dirt around, and it was just basically sand. I thought, oh, you know, what's going on? So I talked to Regina about it, and we mentioned it at the meeting. I think you were the chair. And we tried to get it on the next month, but I was in the Northwest doing my cranberry thing. And here we are. And I'm glad we got to meet with you. It was heavily used during the Second World War. And so there, you're right. There could be nothing left in terms of...
Yeah, that's highly likely what it was, that any and all of the burials that could have been within this area that were utilized by the military, is that it was graded and grubbed into.
You see those two buildings on your slide there, and mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what kind of foundations, but they probably go down a couple feet. Mm-hmm.
Interesting that. Burn posting over that early photograph.
So.
Yeah, the whole thing looks like it's been pretty well leveled. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, cleared.
And this one, yeah, especially in this one.
Yeah.
You know, when it became part of the state parks.
Well, now they're building it up for that play field.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Hemao Ninao?
Aohe
Ninao? Mahalo for presenting us your updated. Presentation. Another familiar project, Nampo Makanya.
Are you involved in that too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty bad as that.
You know.
Slow down.
You know that you are the archaeological firm for the two most glaring. Of Aloha Aina issues here. So.
I am very well aware of that, and it's not a very comfortable situation to be in.
You must have done something terribly wrong when you were a kid.
I must have done something terrible.
I still got to go at 3, but I'll stay for this.
You have got a lot of laws, the kind, because
yeah.
he took a very prominent stance amongst the community. For the cause of this project.
Okay, so
but again, acknowledge our representative, from our chair from Kona, who are in support.
You're so kind, Kolaloa.
Mahalo for the opportunity to speak on this project. An even briefer overview for you of the Napua Makani Wind Project. This is a project up in Kahuku. Previous archaeology and known locations of Ivi Kupuna. I apologize for this map being so small, but there was a lot of information to include. 38 previous archaeological studies within a 2.5 kilometer radius of the project area, which is shown outlined in red there. Ivi Kupuna were identified during 9 of those projects, and those are highlighted on the map. The closest site, if you sort of zoom in, is 270. It's situated about 300 meters north of the project area. That is a cave, which includes Ivi Kupuna, preserved in place in that cave. All of the other identified Ivi Kupuna are much further away from the project area. No Ivi Kupuna have been identified within the boundaries of the project area, or in any project areas adjacent to it, immediately adjacent. All of the archaeological work for this project was completed by us, by Pacific Legacy, by staff members working out of our Kailua Oahu office. That's something that there's been some talk of somebody from Miami working on this project. We have no idea who that is in the community.
So we began with a cultural impact assessment. Four interviews were conducted, and two were withdrawn from that assessment, which was completed in 2014 and accepted to the best ability of the SHP in 2015. An AIS was completed in 2014 and accepted the following year. We identified 28 sites, 14 of which are within the current project area. This included 22 Hawaiian sites, one sugar plantation complex, three historic sites, and two military sites. A historic preservation plan was subsequently developed and accepted for six sites that were recommended for preservation. Data recovery was, a plan was submitted, accepted, and data recovery was done in 2017. We're currently finalizing that report. Three sites were recommended for data recovery. We completed an aerial excavation in the limestone cave, which was interpreted as a habitation cave. We did additional documentation, including some small excavations in a historic artifact scatter, and we did additional historic research on the sugar plantation complex. An archaeological plan was developed and accepted by SHPD, and archaeological monitoring took place in May 2018, December 2018. So that's right from initial grubbing, additional grubbing because the vegetation had grown back, to full construction, which included grading, a lot of grading from January to September of 2019. We had four full-time monitors on site over that period of 8 months.
And a cultural monitor as well.
And so we monitored all ground-disturbing activities.
Good question.
Yeah.
For the cultural impact assessment, four interviews conducted, two withdrawn. What does the withdrawal mean?
Two of the interviewees, after more consideration, said they didn't want their manawa to be shared.
So actually, they conducted four, two of them, so you just have two of the interviews.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So you're going to return and get the other two for your...
No, they didn't want it to be used.
But you're not going to go to the two, you're going to the four. Was the four your max? I mean, was the four...
That we ended up with four. We started with a much larger group,
and
people just
Thank
didn't
you.
Show an interest or,
okay.
you know, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. How explosive were you guys at first?
So we'll get to that in just a moment. So this is a close-up view of the project area. You'll notice the access road does continue to the north, but we took it off the map because there were no findings, and to zoom in on the area of interest, so you can see those eight turbine pads where the turbines are slated to be, as well as a large laydown area in yellow there. And this is the area of potential effect. We superimposed the archaeological sites. You'll remember we identified 28 sites in total, 14 of which are within the footprint. The original footprint actually extended to the north. All of those orange dots that you see, many of them are limestone caves, and we worked with the developer to shift the project area so that they would not adversely affect those caves because...
burial caves?
Not burial caves, habitation caves. But they did have traditional artifacts on them, and we thought it best if we could avoid them, that would
there
be
There are fun. A bunch of burial caves out there.
We didn't run across any. We did not encounter any burial caves.
The closest one is the identified site 270, which is about 300 meters north.
So I thought you mentioned this earlier, but
eastern side.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
What's the difference between traditional and historic? I know you mentioned it earlier.
So pre-contact and post-contact.
Got it.
Yeah. So who were the other ones that you interviewed?
Pardon me?
Who were the other ones you interviewed? Two that you, I mean.
I don't recall.
It's just, I just think that it's just, for a project this big. Anyways, go ahead.
So this was the result of the AIS. The sites that were slated for preservation are indicated by blue stars here. So you can see a number of terraces, a platform, as well as two bunkers were recommended for preservation. These are the two sites where we undertook data recovery. Again, the habitation cave, which was subject to aerial excavation before it was destroyed as part of this project, and the artifact scatter there in the center of the project area. Now, during monitoring, the initial stages, of course, were grubbing, followed by grading. A number of areas did need to be lowered. They did need to be graded substantially. And those red circles on the map, which are next to T1, the T1 pad, T8, and the laydown area, those are the areas where dynamite was used following grading of the area.
Was that in the permit?
That we don't know. And that's something that it's not usually part of our purview. That's between the permittee and permittor. And I don't know. I don't know how that's supposed to work, to be quite honest.
In other words, that was between AES and the city.
Yes.
But we did have monitors on site for the entirety.
But to explain what we did is we monitored all the earth removal, so we were there on site while all that was happening. It came down to bedrock. We examined the bedrock. They blew it, and then we examined it again. Obviously, we're not going to be out there while they're.
I mean, that's a pretty ridiculous way to consider monitoring, is what I'm saying.
Well, we monitored the grading that took place beforehand.
If you're trying to monitor for. Anything kind of cultural or archaeological that's kind of ridiculous.
I don't know the amount of feet of overburden that was taken off before they encountered the bedrock. I don't have that information right now,
I'm just saying logically the monitoring is designed to make sure that you're not disturbing any cultural or archaeological. That's kind of a ridiculous thing, right?
We wouldn't expect there to be cultural resources in the limestone karst
that was buried by clay
and
farmed for 100 years.
Karst as in karst features.
Karst as in upraised coral, mm-hmm. Limestone. Solid enough that they couldn't excavate it with their excavators. They felt they had to soften it using explosives. And our monitors did go over the areas after the blast to inspect and didn't see anything.
But hypothetically, it would be too late if you did.
I'm sorry?
Hypothetically, if there was anything there, it would be too late if you did find something.
Just hypothetically,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I
think
did
you
find anything?
No. The in terms of during the monitoring, I think there were four or five findings that they were all related to the Kahuku sugar plantation. No traditional materials. And frankly, that was kind of expected based on the results of the AIS and our background research, the area was intensively farm for sugarcane for about 100 years. And they really modified that landscape. They avoided some of the limestone areas where the caves were. And that's one of the reasons we worked at getting the engineers to shift that boundary down so that we wouldn't destroy those, because there's so little out there because of the sugar plantation.
Yeah, so this is not you, but just kind of ironic to monitor dynamite. I mean, that's not your job is to monitor. I mean, just the idea of monitoring the dynamite is in my mind kind of problematic. But sorry, I did have to leave.
You don't have any further questions for them?
No, I'm, yeah, I gotta go.
Did you need to speak to them at further length?
No. Is there much more?
No, this is it. This is
the
last slide.
All right.
Yeah.
Mahalo.
February 12th, right? February 12th.
Say that for the camera.
So everybody knows. Make sure you pull it.
Okay.
Council members, Himoni Nam.
Yeah. What is your petition area would be considered what? Petition area of this project. Is it different than your project area? Do they have a petition area? It's your project area.
Petition area.
Yeah, I mean.
You mean the area of potential effect? That's the project
that's
area.
That's your project area.
Yeah.
Did you guys,
yes.
Are you guys analyzing the extent to which would include customary rights and traditional rights of this area? Like the Pa'akai analysis?
I'm not sure if that
was
covered.
Is there going to be an environmental effect statement done over here?
Is there
EIS being done?
Yeah, it has been completed.
It has been completed
and accepted.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. That all had to be accepted before they started
before
the construction.
This company was in the community like 10 years.
Yeah.
But that's the hard thing about
before
it.
Before the analysis and that. Okie dokie, thank you.
Adds to the community.
Mm-hmm. How high are these things?
I'm sorry?
How high are the windows?
My recollection is something like a little over 500 feet.
Too
the
tall.
Yeah,
yes.
520 feet is my recollection.
They are too tall.
Yeah.
And
if you saw these things coming out on the road in front of you, just right like this, as right where they're sitting is right where it came in front of you. They're ridiculous. Absolutely. I can't see how the city approved this project for the places that they have located those turbines. It's absolutely ridiculous.
What's the longevity, you know, of this, the life thing of that?
My understanding from while ago is about 20 years.
20 years. We have some still from 40 years ago,
yeah,
staying up in different islands. What I'm saying is, it's just like dish TV. I can't handle, because they leave the dishes on your thing.
Mm.
You know, it's like they're going to do it again. They're going to leave these dinosaurs
those
up.
Wind turbines don't
it's
serve
just
the community.
An eyesore. And it's just our problem again. But anyway, put them out of body now.
So these things are going to be much bigger than what's out there right now.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh.
Almost twice.
Yeah.
Almost twice the height.
I believe they're completed, aren't they?
I think so.
They should be completed.
Really?
They really are an awful eyesore.
They're double the size and they're closer to
Oh, close isn't even, it's like literally in the people's backyards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when you consider the potential for issues to occur with the mechanical component of this, or for it to catch fire, it's ridiculous. It's unacceptable. But I know that you came, you brought this because... again, it was because of the dynamite concern,
mm-hmm.
and we were told there was potential for the burial that was impacted.
You know, I'm on this board partly because of burial caves out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie Ayao called me up one day out of the blue and said, "Hey, I understand you have some burial caves. Can I get on your property?" I worked for Campbell Estate at the time. "Can I get on the property and take a look at these burial caves?"
Okay.
Because we discovered them as part of the EIS process of going through another project. So Eddie and I and Kunani Nipali, Andy Rose, and a couple of other people went out there. Sure enough, we found four caves with bones in them. And Kunani was really funny. We're walking out there, and he says, "You know, these Germans, if it's all the Germans, you come over here and raid these caves." So we come up to the first burial cave, and there's this steel plate, enamel steel plate. Flips it over, and it says, "Made in Germany." So it's kind of an interactive. Because of that, I'm on the board, because Eddie and I talked a lot about the process and everything.
Hmm.
But you're right, the caves are more across where the military access road goes.
Oh, where Drum Road is?
Yeah.
But thank you for coming to present to this council again.
You're welcome. Anytime we can help let us know.
Say hello to Jim.
I'm sorry?
Say hello to Jim.
I'll do that. I'll see her tonight.
Yeah, I hope so.
Were there any questions from the community?
Can I ask one? Sorry, I do work for CSH, I just wanted to make sure. So when you say that you guys contacted, you guys interviewed four people, and only two of them wanted to be included into your guys' report, and to see, was there another opportunity to reach out again to see if there were any more potential candidates, or were the ones you guys already interviewed, maybe they had some thought, or were there any more opportunities for community members to voice? For something that
this
big, this is
the
only
so.
Four people.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
That's a totally valid point. The woman who did it no longer works for me, but she was extremely thorough and she was working very well with the community. I'm assuming she did do that, but I honestly don't know. I'm sorry.
If I
can
just make a quick comment along those lines. Because of our involvement with this Kuleana, I get quite a bit of emails and asking if I want to participate and be interviewed from their company, Cultural Service Hawaii.
Myself too.
A lot of them, and I myself, even though we have Kuleana, I pick and choose which ones. If I don't have anything to add for that specific area, I don't reply. So I could see how, you know, if you reach out 100 people, I'm probably one of them.
And I think, just to follow up on that, I think the whole process of doing cultural impact assessments has grown so much in the last 10 years that people who are potential to be interviewed are getting tired. Mm-hmm. And just, I've already told my story. I don't want to do it again. And you know, I understand that. And that's the thing. When we do these, we tell the developer or the proponent of the project, this is going to take a long time, because we have to go on these people's schedule. And sometimes things like holidays come up or sickness in the family. And we won't talk to someone for another 3 months. And, you know, the developers were, no, we need this done. No, I said, that's not the way it happens. So it's a real rough one. It really is. And
well, please apologize to Kellen.
I just want to say something, too, on that whole thing. You know, I've been doing my 18th year, and when I started in 2002, I was just starting culture impact assessment. And going into that world, you see where it is now, people are tired of talking to you, and we do the best we can to get things out there. But what I've learned is the relationships that are formed in those outreaches, you know, do good faith effort, but when you continue the relationship with these people, I still, from many years ago, still contacting them, and they're still willing to talk to you if you keep that relationship over. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to go, you're just calling me up for this. Why? I want to tell you already. But if I have two new cultural researchers here with us at Cultural Service Hawaii, I want them to realize that it's that relationship that you keep with them after. Okay. And if I go Kauai work, I make sure I stop by Uncle Ron's house, drop him something off, and talk with him for a little bit. That's how they get back. So I just want you to know there is a way to keep that relationship strong, so you still have those who will contact you back. But it is the problem.
Well, but also, and I would say, because I hear the question that you posed, and the Pacific Legacy in front of us, cultural surveys, it matters how you reach out. If you put the burden upon the person you're reaching out to, like if somebody told me that I had to write, of which people did, and said, oh, can you write it down? No, yeah. I'm not writing it down. Mm-hmm. Or can you go and do something? No, I got a list of other things that I need to do. No, I don't need to do your work. Yeah. So, you know, as someone who may be beginning to engage in these things, you know, if it was me,
I think I might be more inclined to pull together, just like how we've seen in group consultation. And when you have more or little time and people are able to talk story, and then you help them feel comfortable to keep talking, but then you gotta listen carefully to how the story bounces back and it'll have a natural flow, you may actually get more out that way. You know, there's some instances where one person will have much information, and then there are some where you have to piecemeal it. And for those where you have to piecemeal, it doesn't always help. So I too have been one of the ones who pick and choose. Because I don't have much to say, I've said my piece a couple of times already.
But the CIA won't go away, mm-hmm. because it's the only thing we have, is what we tell our people. This is all we have right now. Even though they're not being read, they are being read. For instance, mm-hmm. on Maui, a big project is going on. I'll just say a big project is going on. Came up through the environmental impact statement, boom. They're going right to the very report that everyone's thinking it's not going to be read, nothing, and pulling all the things from there that's not being put into the EIS. So it is being read. It's just at that level. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And well, what you said is key, is those relationships.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're exactly right. When somebody just calls because they need something, then no thanks, I don't want to talk to you right now because I just don't want to talk. But yeah, hopefully that. Anyway, so with no further comments or questions from the community, thank you for being here again today.
Mahalo.
Thank you. Mahalo.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is 3:20 already.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Okay, we said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us. Did you want us to? Minuke?
Minuke, I am Kikahi Heva, Maka, Makaki.
I mean, only because we got Minuke from 2018.
Right.
Yeah, the 2018,
it
should be
2019.
2018.
All right. Let us
The bottom
one. Engage in the minutes. Were there any items that we should be concerned about, either council members or Regina?
I think I looked at the September 2019 minutes and they are not complete yet. I just finished the November ones, I think I posted last month. And then the December ones, I sent it to be posted yesterday. They haven't been posted on our website yet.
But we need to simply accept them.
Yeah.
All right. So, pertaining to the minutes of October 10th, 2018, Chair will entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from October
10th, 2018. So moved. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So carried. Minutes from November
14th, 2018. Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from November 14th,
2018. Second.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from December 12th, 2018.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from December 12th,
2018. Second.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So carried. Minutes from February 13th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from February 13th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from March 13th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from March 13th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from April 10th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from April 10th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from May 8th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from May 8th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from June 19th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from June 19th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from July 10th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes of July 10th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from August 14th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes of August 14th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from October 9th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from October 9th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Minutes from November 20th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes of November 20th, 2019.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. And the minutes from
2019 should be 2019.
December 18th, 2019.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the minutes from December 18th, 2019.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. We have the minutes from September 18, 2019 outstanding.
Right. These will be posted on the website. So this lady here, she can...
Yeah.
Okay. In our inadvertence... there have been inadvertent discoveries of Ivi Kupuna at the Azure Ala Moana at Lualualei Beach Park, at the Kahaku Project, formerly known as King's Village, at Ka'ava Elementary School, on Saratoga Road, Hiko Right of Way, Diamond Head, on Hanua Street in Honoliuli. Yes, any of... are you going down the list for this?
Sure. I can do them one at a time. So October 15th, 2019, at the Azure Ala Moana, there was a discovery, an inadvertent discovery during monitored excavation. The remains had been mostly excavated out. There was some in-situ remains in the sidewall. In the long run, we discussed preservation measures for preservation in place and then also relocation. Turns out there's a very nice, well, there's a stem wall that needed to be built in the nearby vicinity, and a landscaped area was available for reburial. So that's the decision that was made for relocation, and the EVR currently curated on the site, still on the location, not exactly where they were, but they're still on the property in the TMK.
Mahalo.
And then the Lualualei Beach Park, Pōka'i Bay, on October 26, 2019, this was a discovery that happened over the weekend. I think a houseless member had been looking for shells and came across a cranium that had been protected and kind of like backfilled in place by archaeological staff who came out in the same area and responded to an inadvertent discovery due to erosion earlier in, I think it was July or June of that year, of last year. But the erosion and subsequent buffeting by the surf exposed it again. It came out. And so HPD called me, and I went out there, collected the remains that are on the surface, and then moved them into curation. So at some point, I have to talk to the city and county about reburial on the park
property.
Will you keep me informed on that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were out there, did they do the stabilization project yet?
No, Mauna Lahi Lahi one?
Yeah,
not
yet.
Yeah.
So this is it.
That's still outstanding?
Lua Lule. Sorry, Lua Lule is before, okay.
Yeah, no worries, wow. No worries.
Mauna Lahi Lahi Lule.
Both, I'll keep you
on
both.
Yeah, keep me on both. Yeah, sorry.
Sure.
Wow, that Mauna Lahi Lahi stabilization project is still outstanding.
Yeah,
still outstanding. Yeah.
Still outstanding.
Because I just relating, it just kicked me off. We go on the beach because remember we were talking to the people who are houseless on the beach, they were finding them when they were taking them, putting them in the water rather than contacting Shifty.
Oh, got it, yeah.
So
yeah.
That we need to sometimes meet about because they're still doing it. I'm still getting a call.
Oh.
I got a call last week.
Oh, okay.
That they were doing that, and so.
That is something that has been in the back of my head because, you know, when you have burrow close to the shore, on one hand, I know my Ohana Ni'ihau always said, if they come up, then anybody, whoever is the one who finds them, must gather them up, malama them, put them together, and move them upland.
Her name is Punani Martin, by the way.
Okay.
She just lives there on the beach.
Okay.
Sorry.
But there are certain times where if Kanaloa gonna take them, then Kanaloa take them. In fact, sometimes safer to let Kanaloa take them rather than put them up and put them in more, you know, more danger. Right?
Yeah.
I think if we knew that Kanaloa was going to take them in Laveloa, Lilopau, then Maikai.
Yeah.
But if we cannot be sure, then we have to malama them and move them.
Just one more question on why and I on inadvertence. Is it Pililaau, is that the name of the army base?
Mm. Oh yes, Pililaau Army Recreation Center.
Uncle Glenn's was out there. I mean, I was out there with him last year, August. How's that going? Do you know? He had an archaeologist, a woman, with him.
I think I'm like losing track of time now. My previous intern Sonia and I went out there and met Uncle Glenn and Chris Oliveros out there to return remains that we had gathered, that I had gotten from DOCARE and from HPD, from the shoreline where Pililaau Army Recreation Center is located. They have like this rock wall. It was a retaining wall, and the retaining wall was exacerbating the erosion of the shoreline. So from that shoreline area, I think one individual, I can't recall, but one individual or possibly two, I'll follow up on that. And previous to that, there had been a couple.
Okay. Yeah, right, okay.
So we returned those remains to Uncle Glenn, who then was gonna rebury them with other remains that came from another federal project that they were undertaking at the same time.
So federally, with the federal project, that doesn't kick in Niagara in inadvertent status?
No, not for us, because the Army was super adamant that their jurisdiction ended at the retaining wall.
Oh, the retaining wall.
And didn't include the shoreline, which
I'm caught up now, thank you.
Made me really, you know,
upset. That's okay. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So we can picnic on the shoreline
like that.
Yeah. They do. Yeah. Like, we'll take jurisdiction over the petroglyph field, but we won't take these kupuna.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just take them to task next time.
Be
so empowered.
So I will say that I talked to Richard Davis about this, and then when several colleagues from the Department of Defense were down here, I talked directly to them, and they're like, "Don't talk to him."
Oh wow.
We have this other person you should talk to.
Who do they want you to talk to?
I can't remember their name, but he's like several steps above Richard. So I said, okay. But there's no pressing business on that one. Right now, we've returned them to Pililaau.
Kahaku.
So this was November 6th. Mana was there. Were you working that day? Yeah. Okay, so where the balustrades are for the temporary power box, they're excavating. Was it to take them down? Is that what was going on? Or what was it?
They were.
Oh, no, they're going up to that area, yeah?
Yeah.
So that they could backfill?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And there was kupuna in the sidewall. It was in situ. So a primary deposit.
Not disturbed.
Miraculously, because right next to that was the balustrades for the for the temporary electric pad that was there. So we talked with the landowner and the project proponents. Cultural Surveys was out there. And we asked, what is the likelihood of preservation in place? And they said, oh, pretty high. So I said, okay, well, let's do that then. Because it's going to be like a pocket park in that corner. So it's going to be in a landscaped area anyway. So that one will be preserved in place.
Is that the one they're having, like, trying to find a name, someone to name the place? They went with Kahaku.
Yeah. Why it had nothing to do with
right,
that.
Right, right. Okay. I remember
they
that.
They didn't
one.
Ask any descendants. They just kind of.
Paulo
Kako Maopopolo Kiala Lako Kahakui Kiala
Kaha. You know, when the previous developer, Kobayashi, had the project, didn't they uncover through the cultural surveys, find another remains, set of remains?
Yes, there was one part of the fragment.
One single.
Right, the fragment, right.
That's
what I was
already had a
burial.
But the park.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right.
And then, I don't know if it's a continuation of that same inadvertent find while the CSH crew was there, making sure that the boundaries of the permanent protection methods could be used not impact that first burial. We did find a second burial that, again, because it was done. Carefully, a second individual right there in that area, not disturbed, preserved in place also.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's two finds in this area.
Yeah.
That was within a couple of days of each other,
Yeah.
They're probably of a concentration.
Could be, yeah. But that was...
But let's not find out.
Yeah.
And like what Matt said,
don't push it.
The area that we just encountered these two kupuna, was the area that was designated on the map that first fragment was going to be put.
That's right. I have a Leno for that one. Ka'ava Elementary School, there is an archaeological monitoring program that was accepted for that property. So there was a firm engaged in monitoring. It's unclear if there was a miscommunication between the construction company and the archaeological firm doing the monitoring as to the schedule for work. Because the day that this discovery occurred, the monitor was not on site. So when she came out there that afternoon, basically what she found was the excavator had excavated into the upper portion of a burial pit. After she cleaned out the floor of the excavation, she did see a distinct burial pit. She collected what remains were at the surface and from the back dirt and put them back into the burial pit and then covered that. And the plan originally was to put a drainage box there. But when they when she went in and did some more exploratory work just to see if she could discern additional features in the same location, she did find another what looked like a burial pit. So I said at that point, okay, don't do any more work. We're gonna preserve these two kupuna in place. The one that we know is definitely there and has been impacted. And then this one burial pit, which I'm assuming will have another kupuna in it, but no further work is required. So the DOE construction subcontractor is going to move forward with ensuring that those kupuna stay in place, and the monitor is on it. That's Bob Breckman's firm. And then Saratoga Road, November 21st, 2019. These ibu kupuna were encountered during excavation for a utility pole. I think they were splicing in cables or they were replacing it. I don't exactly remember. But HPD called me. I wasn't able to come out immediately. And then there was like total miscommunication between myself and then Hiko's person that was doing like accounts because he was like, well, you know, we have cultural surveys on retainer, but we don't know like who's gonna pay for this. And I was like, that's not my kuleana. I just need to know if these skeletal remains are human or not human. If they're human, we're looking at one situation. If they're not human, different situation. So after some back and forth, I was like, forget it. I'm just gonna go out there myself. So I went out there in the afternoon. It was probably like 1:30 or something. And took a look. The crew had stopped work immediately. Definitely human skeletal remains. No question about it. Looks like they had been previously impacted by possibly installation of the pole like before. I don't know why nobody had it on their records, but we're definitely having it on our records now. And that one we're able to preserve in place. There's like a funky shaped metal cuff that protects the sidewall, and then the EVR are protected vertically and horizontally. And Mana and I, Mana and his ohana and myself and Hiko and Alani were there a couple weeks after the discovery for reburial. So moving along, if there's any questions, stop me at any time.
Mahalo.
3641 Diamond Head Road. This is an old, I think it was not a Cook property, but Kelly property. It's an old Kelly property. The house I was on there before has been demolished, and during the demolition phase, they encountered EV. They weren't sure if it was human or not, so they called Shifty. And then, since I was nearby, I went out and took a look, and definitely human. It looked like it came with imported fill when the first house was built in like the 30s, because the area is very low lying, so they would have had to build up the area quite substantially. I talked to the developer, and we kind of looked at places where the EV could be reburied on site. So currently they're in curation on the site. They will be reburied on the site probably within the next 17, 18 months when they're closer to finishing. They do final grading and landscaping. I just got a call from them like earlier this week. I went out again to look at skeletal remains, but they're definitely not human. They're all faunal. So G, inadvertent discovery of skeletal remains at 91150 Hanwha Street. This actually occurred on the date of our last OIBC meeting on December 18, 2019, because people were calling me like crazy. So Shifty's archaeology staff went on and responded. Basically the situation is that there's a new platform being built with several septic systems around. I think the foundation slab on grade has already been built, but they're going in and doing installation of like four separate septic systems on the property. And the first one that they did was kind of at the Makai area, in the Makai quadrant. They went down, were excavating, basically hit a void, and then was pulling stuff out, and then two guys went into the puka to go look. And while they were in there, they were kind of clearing out material, and one of them came across what they thought was a stone. I assume it was rather dark in there. Put it into the excavator bucket. That bucket came out of the puka, and it was a skull. So they called us. Archaeology staff went out. We said no further work. I think they're trying to find a cultural resource management firm who can then, moving forward, write the burial treatment plan and then also provide archaeological monitoring. So those EV are curated on site, I think in a climate controlled area, and they will be buried closer to the end of the project, which is probably not for another 12 to 18 months.
So reinterment somewhere else.
On the property.
On the property, because it is going to be waste, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so if I make sure they don't lie, they will
be doing a burial treatment plan.
Yeah. Yes, they will be doing a burial treatment plan.
Yeah, we'll have to review or something.
Actually, no, this was an inadvertent discovery, so SHPD would receive the burial treatment plan for our review.
Did you guys go out and look inside the rest of the cave?
I didn't do that day. I don't know if any of our staff did. When I was talking to Michelle Clark with Cultural Surveys, I had indicated to her that I would feel more comfortable only have staff down there if it seems safe from the surface.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Otherwise, there's no need to go down there. My understanding is that they're going to backfill it and then excavate down
to the fill
or to whatever grade level they need to pop in the septic tank, because they've already excavated the leach field. Yeah.
Did put the field in the way.
It was a karst cave. Yeah, a pit cave. Yeah.
It was like 9 feet. They kind of changed their plan for that.
I don't know. I asked them. I said, "Well, is there another place you could put this?" And he was like, "Well, we have a couple more to do."
Mahalo. As soon as you said,
you asked if there was another place to put the septic tank.
So, yeah.
Is that what your question is?
Yeah. And I was like, "This kupuna has been here for how long?"
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Anyways, I'll let you know. Yeah.
thought of Uncle Mike Lee when he was talking about this area.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He would have definitely been here.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. I guess he is here. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely. So I have Valeno. But yeah, if anyone has any questions about any of these, and I will follow up about those issues and get back to you.
Mahalo.
And then lastly, just real brief, our history and culture branch, we've taken on more cases as a result of erosion. One that HPD was initial jurisdiction over, and then the medical examiner took a look and was like, "Oh, we'll call SHPD." Definitely human in the Pua'ena area. This is one that I'm going to talk about next month. I still haven't even done my notifications yet. It's been so crazy. But I've been talking informally about having conversations around climate change and what we anticipate and know is coming. It's important for us to be resilient, but also to be respectful. And as time goes by and tides become more and more amplified, we're finding the amount of calls that we get is exponentially increasing. And I don't mind working on Sundays and Saturdays, which I sometimes do anyway, because I feel it's a kuleana. But it would be good to have a conversation that includes a wide variety of stakeholders on how best to address these ongoing issues moving forward, because it is something that we know and expect is going to continue to happen.
Yeah.
And if Kanaloa takes our kupuna, then Kanaloa, and just like what you said earlier, Hina, if Kanaloa does that, that's that's just part of going back to where we came from.
That's what Punani guys would tell you. That's exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah.
They cut hair from me and Panaloa to take it out. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, it's so good to tell you.
I know, it's spooky because before I started working with Kua Ke Kuhi, I was like, "No, you know, we gotta save everybody." And then I'm like, "No."
Yeah.
Kumu would be like, "No, it's just natural.
Part of the process, yeah.
It's part of the process." So.
Yeah.
You
gotta protect them from the unnatural.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I do have an intern that's going to be joining me from UH West Oahu So she'll start next week, I think, and then I'll bring her to the February meeting. Yeah, mahalo. No, she went back to Maui for a little bit. I think she comes back to Oahu today.
She might continue with you?
She did. She wants to continue with me, so I'll have Devin again at least a couple of times. Yeah, she was a real pleasure.
I know, I should know this, so don't laugh at me by asking a stupid question. But when it was my understanding, if you do an AIS and you, in the process, you find a Evie remains there, and then you go into the building of the building, and then you find some other Evie over here, I thought that Evie was part of the
original burial treatment.
Yeah, well, it was a previously discovered burial. So I should have asked this earlier, but on Matt's project, that whole property has been previously AIS'd, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked the question, well, what if if you find something inside this 60,000 square foot or whatever the size is property, wouldn't that be considered a
previously
identified?
Mm.
And the answer I got back was a resounding no. But I'm just curious about that. I mean, is there a time limit on a AIS or?
No, but AISs don't usually extend into the roadway.
Oh, no, we're talking about
Sorry, which one was this?
The one.
I thought it was the
transit
one, phase two.
The transit one.
The what?
The transit one you're referring to, yeah?
Well, the buses. The emergency center.
Yeah. Oh, the emergency operations center.
Yeah, that, whatever.
See, that whole site had been previously inventoried.
Yeah.
And we found about, you know, as he explained, we found one or two bodies way over here. So if you find a body over here, wouldn't that be a previously identified? Because it was part of that
but
AIS.
Yeah, I think it's a...
I'm not trying to make more.
Oh, no.
I'm just, you know.
No, it's totally fine. I think some of the designation depends on the type of archaeological work that is associated with the specific project. So for the EOC, that is a project that's covered by monitoring. And monitoring is kind of like what we would consider active build phases. There's building and excavation going up in support of the building versus like exploratory work that is done way ahead of time before there's any building.
Yeah, we're running out of time,
yeah,
so I don't want to beat a dead horse. But you know, in the original project, they found these things here, and then they were building this building here. Now, during the construction of that building, if they discovered some remains here, they would be identified as previously identified.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the difference with the emergency center? That's
I don't know. I'll seek clarification on that.
This way, I can
just
keep
remind
a closer
me.
Eye on this guy.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you after.
Mahalo, Regina,
yeah,
for
mahalo.
The updates.
Thank you.
Hi.
Chair reminds everyone our next meeting is February, what date did you say? 12.
Yeah. 10 to 5, yeah?
12?
So don't try to replace Ko'olauloa here. On the table. There's only one Ko'olauloa. Okay, with that, the chair will extend a motion.
Move to chair.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Hey, we don't have